Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You would drive your mother up the f***ing wall on a regular basis.
I was in a lot of pain and just mental discomfort.
Kelly, oh, Kelly, get the woke book out, Kelly, for God's Kelly, sake.
Yeah. Well, clearly there must have been something wrong if I was that upset.
Oh, Kelly, you didn't have to have a reason. You were just wood. Don't you remember the fucking Bloom episode in the zoo?
No.
F***ing up. Go to London Zoo. And there again, it was a fucking guy with 1,000 balloons.
Oh, is that when I let go of the balloon?
Yeah.
You know.
Twice.
Crazy. Hey, but that's how it goes.
I need to go to a happier place.
I feel romantic.
Shut up, Ozzy.
Just go to bed, darling. Ah!
All right, change the subject.
Okay, everyone, welcome back to part two of the Political Compass episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
Let's see how morbid and miserable this one is.
I will say, so far we've done very good about no fighting. It hasn't like fucking kicked off.
No, I was really impressed that none of us have fought yet, but...
it's not over till it's over.
It's just, I don't know, like, I'm not educated enough to... answer these questions properly sometimes. Like, I have my opinion on stuff, but I could be more educated on the topic, if you know what I'm saying.
Why do you find it hard to verbalize it?
It's not that I find it hard to verbalize. It's that you just never want to offend anyone. So I'm so scared to fucking say anything.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because my beliefs evolve and change and I often get afraid to like publicly take a stance on something because I don't know.
10 years down the line,
I'll give you a perfect example. I made some comments about Ozempic recently where it was like 50% of the people hated it, 50% of people liked it. And then on TikTok, everyone hated it. But the truth is, my opinion used to be the same as the people who didn't like my opinion on Ozempic until I met somebody who lost weight from Ozempic. And it changed their life. Not you, Mum. You weren't, like, huge to begin with.
Yeah, I was.
No, you weren't. And it, like, how it changed their life and how they explained to me how it took the mental obsession with food away. And it allowed them, from that reprieve, it allowed them to dig deeper through therapy and really figure out who they were and how life-changing it was for them.
Yeah.
That it completely changed my opinion on it. So I'm like, yeah, it's great. If there's a medication out there that can help people lose weight, then what's it so bad about it?
Or on the other side of the spectrum, it didn't work.
Well, then that... What do you mean?
Some people it doesn't work.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's just that's just no one's fault.
Just sucks for that person.
Yeah. But I mean, ultimately, the subjects we're talking about are so divisive. That's why we're talking about them. Half the people are going to like them. Half the people aren't.
Yeah.
That's what society is.
Yeah.
If everybody agreed with what you're...
I think that the trouble today is that if people don't agree with your opinion, they're so foul the way they let you know and the words that they choose to use to you that people just don't want to open their mouths anymore because they're too afraid of the assault that comes with your opinion.
It's the social media dilemma.
Yeah.
People live in their own echo chambers because they control what information they see. They drown out the information they don't like and they shout down people that piss them off all online. And so they go out into the real world and when they encounter something that they go like, well, wait, like there's that person's wearing a Trump hat and I don't like it. Like I'm going to, you know, and it's, well, who gives a fuck? Really, at the end of the day.
But America hasn't got a non-biased news channel.
No, God, no.
Mm-mm. I don't think anybody does anymore. I thought the BBC were, yeah, but yeah, they're not.
No.
They are absolutely not. No.
And I mean, to that point...
They came after you.
To that point, I am going to ask you our first question.
Go on, then.
Okay. There is now a worrying fusion of information and entertainment, meaning that people are getting their news from, like, TikTok or and taking it as 100% factual.
Yes. I agree with that. I strongly agree with that. I think it's worrying that...
It's worrying, but the thing that you've got to understand is half of political news is propaganda anyway. Mm-hmm. And you will always get, I don't care what country in the world you live in, today you will always get a news station that is behind it or against it, and they edit their news to go with their own political beliefs.
Yeah, like the people that put the show on, if they don't agree, if they agree, it's a show, it's a news show.
But the news always wants it to be more dramatic than it actually is. Yeah,
but it's like you look at, what's the thing once, where they had a, all around the world, they did a story on this one thing that happened, and it was completely different in every country. It was amazing. Some countries made it, massive, mm-hmm, but other countries made it not.
The way that the news will lie, they will put up pictures of some place and say it's, well, this was London. And it's not London. It was a picture taken in Amsterdam in a different scenario, but they used it to make it look more dramatic. Mm. That's the sort of thing that they constantly do. Yeah. Even with stupid things like the weather, I'll never forget there was one station, it wasn't like New York or LA, a local station, and there was a flood. And the woman was talking like this, and you could only see her from the waist up. But behind her was a guy in a canoe, and he's doing this. And when her piece finished, the camera was still rolling, and the guy got out of the canoe, and the water was just above his ankles. But it made their presentation more dramatic.
Yeah. When they said we weren't down near Brighton rehearsing on his farm, and I said, the 6 o'clock news said, there will be slight winds tonight. And that by 9 o'clock, the fucking place was blown to bits.
Yeah, but that's them getting the weather forecast wrong. But they, but...
But not lying about the results. They didn't say,
yeah,
like...
But it was slightly like further than a tree standing from fucking Brighton to London.
Well, I was like, that was what happened when I was in England recently. Well, recently, a year and a half, 2 years ago.
You can't trust anything, no, especially online. You cannot trust.
No.
You have to.
Where's the source? Fact check and see.
Yeah, I always think like,
but
that you have to get your news from multiple sources and look and do some research and read more than the headline.
There are some fantastic journalists that are still out there around the world. And if you're lucky enough to find them and follow them.
Yeah.
But it's still a handful compared to the ones that are all bent.
Okay, so we're talking about like worrying, you know, the worrying fusion of information and entertainment. What about when entertainers begin to get on the soapbox and start, you know, preaching politics or, you know, things of that nature? What do you think of that?
Don't get me started.
There's too much gray area in this sense that what if the person is actually right about what they're saying?
And who's to say?
And who's,
and
right?
Who's to say it's right or wrong?
In that environment, the world of politics, you can't really believe anything they say.
The thing is, it depends what they are saying and if that person is educated in the topic that they are commenting on at the time and their facts. I mean, Susan Sarandon, I admire her work. I think she's a great actress. But she made a statement before Christmas that shocked me about politics. And I'm thinking, are you that dumb, Mrs.? People have what to know. It's not even important to share it because it was so insane. But there are people that are definitely educated, that have definitely been to these countries they're talking about, if it's something political and they've lived there, they know people from there, and you absolutely will listen to their opinion because everybody's got their own opinion about everything. If it's an educated opinion that you've actually been there, you've witnessed it, and you're not attached to a political party.
But everyone's attached to a political party at this stage of the game.
I ain't.
I'm not.
Well, all right, besides you guys, but for the most part. Hey, it's Jack Osborne, and the Osborne's podcast is sponsored by Stamps.com. Look, we are well into 2024. The holidays are long behind us, and it's time to get cranking with your business. So what a better way to keep that business moving forward than with Stamps.com. The Stamps.com app is like a post office right in your pocket, helping you stay on top of things, even if you're always on the go. Stamps.com is a stress-free solution for every small business. I'm always on the go, and no matter where I am traveling for work, I can use Stamps.com to print postage. All I need is a computer and a printer. It's that simple. Hey, they even send you a free little scale, so you have everything you need just to get started. And if you need a package pickup, you can easily schedule it through your Stamps.com dashboard. I mean, they really make it too damn easy. Keep your mailing and shipping moving at the speed of your business with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code Osborne's for a special offer that includes a four-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter the code Osborne's.
Okay, next question. Abstract art doesn't represent anything. Shouldn't be considered art at all.
Disagree.
I disagree.
Yeah, I
totally disagree.
I'm like, who's to say what art is anyway?
If you like a fucking painting with a red stripe and you think it makes you happier or you can get into it. It's like saying, who likes cream cakes and who likes chocolate cakes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you like one or the other, you should ban the other one.
But that's what makes art so special.
That's what I'm saying.
It can be anything.
Yeah, and everybody sees something different in it.
What the fuck is art about that? But then again, I ain't gonna like everything.
What's the craziest piece of art you've ever seen?
I saw in Alan's house, you'd got this fucking big thing full of fucking dead flies. And I'm going, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is that?
I think it was the turd that was like £3 million with the sprinkles.
The banana.
The duct tape banana?
Yeah, but once I like read about it and I understood like...
I see, that's why I didn't... The whole concept behind it I thought was cool.
Yeah.
What about Tracy Emin's pubes?
Uh-huh. That's pretty wild.
What?
Tracy Emin, this English artist, she cut off her old pubes, stuck it on a bit of paper, wrote something around it and sold it.
It's like the signature, because it's been done by a certain person who's in vogue. It's called art.
Yeah, or what about when they had that cow and they'd cut it in half?
Yeah, Damien Hirst.
What about the one that you buy a painting and you watch a piece of fruit die? And it's, you know, rot away.
A better question would be, what about people that they spend fortunes for a piece of art, but you don't physically have it? You've just got the, what do you call it?
I think that's cool.
The NFT.
Yeah.
You can buy a share in a painting, which goes up in value. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
You can't buy, you can't
Oh, yeah, that's a great investment.
Yeah.
So if there's a group of you, a consortium, and you all put money in, yeah, I think that's okay. Sure.
That's what a lot of the big... You know, when you hear about these pieces selling for tens of millions of dollars, it's usually like a group.
Mm.
But then you find out it's bogus. The painting. It's a fucking fake painting.
Well, yeah. Did you see the whole thing about the Da Vinci that was sold, which was discovered and everyone, and there's a huge argument whether it's a real Da Vinci or not, because they had to have someone refurbish it and it wasn't complete. It was
It under another painting?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a whole thing, and I actually don't believe it was a Da Vinci.
How did I know it was a Da Vinci?
Because Da Vinci did two of every one of his paintings. Like, his main paintings, he did two, and there's only one of this one. And so where's the other one? That's one thing.
Got pissed off with painting, huh?
Yeah. There's a, but
can't they tell by like brush strokes?
They can, but they believe
the age of the paint.
Didn't he paint the Mona Lisa?
Yeah, and there's two Mona Lisas.
Where was the other one?
The other one wasn't it found in Birmingham or something Islington. Like that? Islington.
They found it in Islington, and it's in a private gallery in Switzerland. Yeah, it's called the Isleworth. I think Isleworth.
But there's still a lot of paintings missing from the. Oh, that guy had a fucking.
The Scream, that got stolen. You know, the famous picture?
During
World War II, when the Nazis were marching, they didn't like modern art. They said, burn this. And this guy stored them in his fucking house.
Yeah.
And he left them to his son. And they were worth fucking millions. And he'd sell one every...
He would take it on a train from Germany to Switzerland, and he would auction them off every couple of years.
Mm.
And his apartment was stocked with art.
And they happened to, just by chance, police on his train, checked his passport, and just by chance.
Mm.
That's great when that happens. Mm-hmm.
Okay, next question. Go on. Sorry, next question. Here we are. In criminal justice, punishment should be more important than rehabilitation.
Punishment should be more...
In criminal justice, punishment should be more important than rehabilitation.
You need both.
Disagree, yeah.
Absolutely, you need it side by side.
And I also think it depends on the crime. Like, how are you going to rehabilitate someone who's a child murderer?
Or a child molester, because they say you can never get cured.
Yeah.
Pedophilia should be fucking locked away.
Look at Gary Glitter.
I think that they should get rid of all your bits if you are into pedophilia.
Florida just passed, they just made it eligible. If you're a repeated like pedophile, you could be sentenced to death. And I agree with that.
I do too. If you go to a foreign country and perform for it, caught being a pedophile, when you get back here, you get put in jail.
I do believe
nothing is too severe for pedophiles, because it's the worst thing out there.
I do think though that there should be more rehabilitation in prisons.
Yeah.
For crimes that you can be rehabilitated out of.
Well, because I think the system is failing in many ways. And
it's the money. Governments don't want to come up with the money.
Yeah.
But nobody is being rehabilitated. They're just learning how to be better criminals and going back in.
But two, that goes along with how they let prisons be privately owned, run.
Yeah,
yeah. So they're not under the government. So it's like they probably look for the price for people to rehabilitate you and go, fuck that, we ain't doing that.
Did you ever see the documentary about the juvenile court judge that was getting paid out from the private juvenile prison in the county?
Yes.
And
how many kids he sent to jail for years for like smoking at school?
Mm-hmm.
And
the government gives them the money.
The prison was paying the judge to send kids to their prison because it was privately run.
They make more money the more people they have in there.
Who pays for the prison?
A private company will build a prison and then they will charge the government.
Oh, yeah.
To have
per person. Like they do at schools. Some schools here do that.
Yeah. And so, but the judge, he was a real like piece of shit. Like, you know, throw the book at him for, you know, he would give the kids the maximum sentence for every single infraction.
I've never seen it.
And when he was all cowering because he was going to prison at the end of it, he was all like scared. I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I know he. I don't think the guy's still alive.
Okay, mothers may have careers, but their first duty is to be a homemaker.
Don't agree.
I don't agree.
Don't agree. Because sometimes what happens if your wife happens to have a better job than you do, and so the wife goes to work, the husband will stay at home, take care of the kids, maintain the home. So that is such an old view. It's really dated.
What about the man and the woman work, they employ a nanny so they can work.
Well, then they're blessed to be able to do that.
Yeah.
It's something wrong with it. Something.
You did it.
I think that...
Wait, no. But something, that's what you guys did.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. I can't say, well, yeah, that's wrong. If you're building a life together, you do the best that you possibly can at the time for your children. Mm-hmm. And if it will benefit your children that we both go out to work, nothing is perfect. Nothing is perfect. Weird. Something's got to give.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jack, for interrupting you.
No, I just think it's situational.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And I don't think the woman has to be the only one that is the homemaker. I think the family makes the home. And it's very antiquated and old-fashioned.
Get in the kitchen, woman. I don't know what you're talking about.
You'll get a shit meal.
Do you think your wife should cook homemade food?
No, I don't think. Not, no.
Some of the best cooks in the world, there's more men that cook than women now. Mm.
I think that Sid cooks amazing stuff, and he learned all from his mum. But they laugh at me because I don't know anything. But I will say I make the best scrambled eggs out of anyone of them. And they say if you can master an egg, then you can cook anything.
Well, so I'm maybe still I have trying. The talent.
Your mum either gets it right or completely fucks it up. But so when it's right, it's great.
You used to cook all right.
Yeah, Dad, you did.
You always said you were a shit cook, but you actually could cook okay.
But when I cook, I cannot eat.
I can't eat what I've cooked.
If I cook a meal, I cannot eat. I'm fucked it up.
I don't enjoy it as much if I cook it myself.
It's fucking pain in the ass.
Go on.
All right. The business person and the manufacturer are the most important. Sorry, let me start that one again. The business person and the manufacturer are more important than the writer and the artist.
Oh.
So the creative world is not as important as the business world.
Business, yes. Or industrial world.
No.
I think creative world.
Yeah. I think they all feed into each other.
The whole package needs each other.
Yeah.
You can't have one without the other. Next question.
I disagree. Strongly disagree with that one. I think they inspire each other. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's a circle.
But yeah. If you get one dodgy.
Listen.
If you get a good team, it's great. But you only have one that's not as into the pro.
Because whatever you produce needs to be sold. So without the music for the sound bed and then the visuals, you're not going to sell it. Unless, of course, it's a gun or a plane or whatever.
Maybe a gun or a plane.
Because they don't advertise that. People are brought in to see those.
Yeah, they market things. Advertise it. Yeah.
A same-sex couple in a stable, loving relationship should not be excluded from the possibility of child adoption.
What?
So basically, I think it's Florida, is saying that if you are a same-sex couple in a loving relationship, you should be excluded from the possibility of adopting a child, which I think is really wrong, because they're saying you can have your own children. And I don't think that that's fair.
Same sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a same-sex couple shouldn't be allowed.
There's two women that are married and they want children, but they don't want to have the baby. They want to adopt a child that needs a home. and some states won't allow that if it's same-sex marriage.
Well,
I think it's so wrong.
I don't know.
Once again, just government overreach. It's like, who gives a fuck?
If it's a loving...
If you've passed the vetting, if you, you know...
And there are plenty of kids that get adopted to you know, yeah, opposite-sex couples that the kids are abused. Like, it's...
They're all getting divorced, aren't they?
Everyone's getting. I mean, everybody. Divorce isn't a gender or a you know, a sexual, you know, what it's not.
It's a human thing.
It's a human thing. Yeah,
we're a rarity, me and you. You've been married that long?
Yeah, I don't have very many friends whose parents are still together, except for Sammy and Fleur.
Colin and Nick.
Yeah, that's for Fleur.
It's gone different holidays for a few weeks.
Go on.
Okay, next question. Those with the ability to pay should have access to higher standards of medical care.
Sure.
Absolutely. And the thing is that if you earn, this is what I think they should do in the UK, where the, you know, free medical care is, the system is so pushed, there are not enough doctors, not enough hospitals, that the rich should not be able to use it for free, unless, of course, it's a case of an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Because private hospitals, you can't get in like that. It has to be an NHS hospital. But for medical care, if you earn over so much money, there are millionaires, billionaires that still use the medical system that's free. Yeah. And I think to take the
resources
and give it to the people that really need it, that could never pay for it.
I'll tell you a story. Mum and I had this friend who got married in Europe to it, and they bought some mushrooms from a shop. And there's mushrooms in that world, there's so many poisonous.
It was in France that this happened.
But they look alike. They came back to England and they decided to cook up these mushrooms, and they were deadly poison. And they did open heart surgery, and they was going, why am I in the National Health? They rushed to the National Health, but they had private. No, they were freaking out. They didn't go to a private hospital. And the guy goes, well, did you want to live or die?
Mm.
What I'm saying is,
if you're in a car accident or a situation like that, you can't go to a private hospital in England. They don't have emergencies.
Yeah, but if you want spine surgery, you should...
You can afford it, you go to a private hospital.
But then again, what happened to me? We went to a private hospital, completely fucked me up.
Yeah, because we went to a doctor with no ethics. So there are plenty of those worldwide.
But you don't know.
Where they work on volume. They want volume.
But
that's the thing too, again, about private hospitals. They want the volume. They want the heart attacks. They want the, I'm going to sew your arm back on patients.
For as many times, I always thought they knew what they were fucking doing.
They do.
Yeah, I know, but you know.
You're talking about surgeons?
But there must be so many fuck ups that you never hear about.
Well, medical malpractice, death due to medical like fuck ups, is like the number one cause of death in America. Do you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I believe it is. I believe it's medical malpractice.
That's crazy.
You never hear.
Third leading cause is medical malpractice.
Okay.
I don't feel like you should have, I love that we have the NHS in the UK. I think it's so important that people have access to healthcare.
Absolutely.
But if you have the money to pay for it yourself, don't take that away from somebody who doesn't.
Yeah, because who's waiting so 3 years for an operation, let them take that place. No, and I'm not talking about people who are wealthy, but people who are extremely wealthy.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to see a billionaire in your NHS doctor appointment waiting room.
No, you don't. And I, there was a situation last year where they asked the Prime Minister if his family used the national health system,
mm-hmm.
and he wouldn't answer the question. And I'm like shouting at the TV, obviously, because he's privately wealthy anyway, yeah. apart from being...
But they use the NHS.
No. But he wouldn't own up because he thought it would look badly on him that he used private care. But the thing is, no, you're doing the right thing by not having your children go to NHS because there are poor people that are waiting years to be seen.
A lot of people
and
die
somebody
waiting.
Who can afford private, do it.
But the NHS is good, but it's also bad because it's good if...
If the system's not stretched, it's like free schooling. If your system is stretched, if you've got 35 kids in a classroom, it's impossible to take care of 35 kids with one teacher and, say, a sub-teacher too.
We had 45 kids in the classroom.
Get out of here.
45 kids in the classroom. 45 kids.
That's crazy.
It was fucking massive.
Okay, next question. Good parents sometimes have to spank their children.
Strongly disagree.
Don't agree.
Why is mom so quiet?
Oh.
But.
Mom believes in a good spanking.
There are times when kids get to a point, drive it to a point where you go, snap.
Okay, what would you do, okay, if little Sydney had this obsession with electrical plugs and he kept taking things and shoving it in the holes, okay, and you keep telling him no, and a certain, you've got in your home, your plugs covered with a baby-proof, they're baby-proofed, but he goes to someone else's house and he gets a metal object and he sticks it in the plug.
I wouldn't hit him.
Not if that happened, but you have to be able for certain situations, electrical stuff near a cooker, and if they keep on doing it, you should be allowed to go no. But I don't say batter a kid, but there are certain times when something is so dangerous.
There's times when kids get you to a point when you go, what is this?
My favorite dad would be when you went to spank us and you'd have us by one arm. And then we got so used to when it was coming that we'd scoot our butts forward and you'd miss our ass. And then you'd get really pissed off even more and you'd go to do it again. And then I'd scoot forward and then you'd end up laughing and letting us go because you couldn't get us.
Oh,
but... I don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
I remember that.
I don't.
Specifically, Palisades era.
I remember a picture where Ozzy's holding Jack upside down and Jack's still got his bottle in his mouth. He's still holding it on.
And Bobby under his arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
I never used to whack him.
I think I remember getting spanked by you once and then what? Once or twice.
I remember what we were doing. Jack, we were sliding down the stairs in a cardboard box.
The story with Jack O'Toole, I'll never forget. When we went to the Beverly Center once. And what does she...
It's a cat toy, fishing pole.
And he's fucking crying like a fucking howling wolf. Got on the elevator and the people on the elevator go, shut that kid up, man. He would cry. I'm driving back to the Palisades. And that night, I'm lying in bed, going, you fucking asshole. My conscience is going, you fucking asshole. Well, you wouldn't have used to buy me that. But I was trying to teach him a lesson. You can't have everything you want.
Yeah.
So the next morning, I felt so bad. It kept me awake half the night, feeling bad about it. I got up in the morning, I said, Tony, drive me back to the fucking Beverly Center. So I drove all the way back to the Beverly Center, bought this fishing pole, drove all the way back, and he goes, what's that? I totally forgot. I tortured myself all night. He didn't know forgot about it the next day.
I just think that there are ways that you can get through to kids without, like, spanking.
But what I'm saying, there are times when people just snap.
Yeah.
I mean, kids go, you would drive your mother up the fucking wall on a regular basis.
I was in a lot of pain.
Fuck.
And just mental discomfort.
Kelly.
Oh, Kelly, get the woke book out, Kelly, for God's sake.
What has being woke got to do with it?
I identified as this.
And I had mental issues.
Oh, bollocks.
Mum, what actual bollocks? What are you on about? What
were you in a lot of pain over?
Mum, I was joking. That's,
we'll save that for another episode.
Sorry, I thought you were being serious.
No.
When you said mental pain, sorry.
We were in fucking pain.
We know.
Well, clearly there must have been something wrong if I was that upset.
Oh, Kelly. You didn't have to have a reason. You just would. Don't you remember the fucking Bloom episode in the zoo?
No.
Fucking hell. Go to London Zoo. And there again, there was a fucking guy with 1,000 balloons.
Oh, is that when I let go of the balloon? Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Twice.
The fucking monkeys was telling me to fucking shut you up. You went fucking ballistic for about fucking 3 days. And you've still remembered.
I'd remember the fishing rod.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think. Especially because I have girls, like.
Oh, you've got your problems coming.
Oh, I know. But as far as spanking goes, it's like I never want to. My thing is, I'm never spanking the girls because they should never get used to a man hitting them.
No.
But you're a good dad, Jack. You're better than I was.
I don't know about
that. Your mom, most of the time, to be the mom and the dad. So I was fucking out there for years.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But in my fucked up way, I always loved you.
You were the best dad. I know that had your hurdles.
I could have been a lot better.
Yeah, you can always be better.
You can always be better at anything.
Oh, in hindsight, when you look back, you go, Jesus, did I really do that? Why did I act that way? And you never...
But, you know, I'm always saying to your mum now, all the time, I go, you know, I'd love to have our kids back, babies again, for a week.
That's what I keep trying to explain to Sid, is that this time is so
precious
because he's only a baby for such a short time amount of time.
Waits for no man. All of a sudden, and I should say to you all, save your tears for you when you really need them. Because it's fucking...
Do you know every single time I cry, I hear you say that to me in my head. Save your tears for when you really need them. Or I hear every action has a reaction.
But that's basic things you're trying to teach your kid. But it's to hit. When I would smack your bottom, I'd beat myself up all fucking day for doing it. I mean, I go, why the fuck do you have to drive me to that?
I remember getting spanked one time for something I totally deserved. Remember when I put my fingers in the candle wax and wiped it on your...
silk wallpaper, yeah.
What about the fucking circles on the wall?
And the candle wax was green.
What about putting the fucking cat and in the fucking crystal room?
Crystal.
Yeah.
Smashing all the fucking...
Doing the wall of death, two cats. No, the dog and the cat.
We'll be put the dog and the
fucking
cat
hell.
In the same room.
Every glass bottle, every was smashed. What about the fucking can of beans in the fucking microwave?
That was me and Jack.
Oh, we're going to heat up the beans.
That was me and Jack. And we hit it. We were like, who are we going to say Smoke did it?
Was bellowing out the fucking...
Do you want to know what the common theme was with all this? Putting the dog in the room, putting the beans in the microwave. There was never a fucking adult around.
I'm not saying it should have been you. I'm just saying,
with the fucking 900...
What about Dad? My scooter's been stolen. I'll buy you another one.
No, I'm not. Listen, I'm just saying it. Guilty conscience. I didn't say no. I said there was no adult. I never said there was no parents. So where were the nannies and them?
We never abandoned you.
No, we were never abandoned. But
We had nanny after fucking nanny with you.
I know. I mean, it was a fucking rough job. When you were troubled, it's better to not think about it, but to keep busy with cheerful things.
No. When I'm troubled, it fucking drives me insane. Same.
I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I don't think it's better.
That's one thing I'm glad I got them devices to look at that, because if me alone in bed with my bed is fucking torture.
I know, same.
Because your mum can go to sleep. I'm awake walking around the fucking house all that when I'm in trouble.
Well, I'm neurospicy, so my head never stops. I never, like, people, you know, when they talk about their meditation experiences and how they can
I've been trying to meditate for fucking 50 years. I can't meditate. Because my head won't let me. What are you doing? You remember when you did that? Oh,
fuck. Yeah, exactly.
What's the question?
I haven't asked the question.
Oh, all right.
Oh, no, the question is, when you were troubled, is it better to not think about it, but to keep busy with cheerful things?
I try not to think about it.
You bury your head in the sand and don't think about it.
She can just go, forget about it.
I don't have that ability.
My head looks for the things I haven't done yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it just depends. It depends on what you're troubled about. If it's something you can control, if you have an ability to fix it, then you should think about it. If you have no ability to fix it and you're completely powerless, then might as well bury it. I mean, what can you do about it? You can't. Don't waste the energy.
Yeah, but you can't say you can't say to your head, stop thinking about that.
Yeah.
Because your head goes, no, because we don't.
I just take a pill.
Okay.
Good for you.
I used to take a fucking few drinks.
Mom doesn't mean that she's like popping pills. Like
that sounded like she's fucking popping pills. She's not.
That mom.
She drinks pills.
When you ruminate.
Mom has a problem with rumination. So do I. And I'm on a special medication
over
for it.
Over and over and over
it's
again.
It's looping thoughts.
You can't stop it. And it's the one thought going over and over and over.
But it's never a nice thought. It would be nice for my head now and again to go, nice thought, nice thought. Because if I have a nice thought, it's my nice thought gets sabotaged in about 5 seconds. A million and one bad things that haunt my head. I will still get freaked out about things I did when I was a kid.
Same. Embarrassed, cringe. I'll go through the whole terrible emotional experience all over again.
Oh, my God. I would never.
Are you ready for the final question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. It's natural for children to keep some secrets from their parents.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think it's human nature, and no matter how close you are with your children, there will always be some stuff that they will not want to share with you.
And it's because I don't want you to ever be ashamed of me or embarrassed of me or anything like that. Or some things that I think that are just...
But it's like, not just children. I mean,
I don't...
You know, when people say to you, if you say to someone, how are you doing? And how I do? Actually, it's fucking crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's...
People go, I'm fine, thanks.
I think having secrets is... But it just depends on the secret, though.
Yeah, it's human nature.
Sometimes...
There's things that are just personal to you that are not for everybody because of their opinions on...
You don't make that person unhappy or unhappier by saying, well... Your wife was screaming or whatever.
Well, no, I'm thinking, but wait, we're talking about kids though.
No, okay. I did steal that money out of your purse.
Yeah.
I did that when I was a kid.
A lot. You used to be obsessed
with the game Monopoly. I didn't do it to steal, I got it so that we played Monopoly later on, I had all the money and I won the game.
There must have been $3,000 in the fucking purse.
In the toy room.
Yeah, I didn't understand what money was. I thought it was all for playing games.
I'd get the float. I'd go. I was thinking your mum was taking He's got a brown envelope ripped open. It's 500 quid gone.
Can you hear baby upstairs?
Yes.
Yeah, I can.
Can we end now so I can go play with him?
You gotta go check to see if he's keeping any secrets. Alrighty. Well, this has been spirited. I'm surprised no arguments
ensued. I'm fucking worn out. That's a good
I know, I'm pretty worn out too.
You'll be flying to England, because you'll have something lots to think about on the plane, all these questions.
Can we have a more upbeat?
Wish I wasn't.
Yeah, we should have a more upbeat, fucked up question, Q&A next time.
For $10,000, would you?
Yeah, we could just play like fuck, marry, kill.
That might be fun.
What?
But I don't want to play fuck, marry, anything with my parents.
What?
Or kill. What about kill?
Well, you see, like, if someone did something terrible to Dad, I'd be on, like, Team Osborne. And
do you remember when we were on that plane? We'll save the story. We will save the story when you and I, we were like, The Exorcist, our heads went, what?
What was that for?
I went, you better fucking watch your mouth. And then he kind of shit himself, but then Mum stood up and fucking
put them in their place.
You two fucking like the dynamic duo. She'll start, then you'll go in.
It's a 1-2 punch, right, Kel?
No, usually I'm the one who notices it and Mum's noticing it too, and I'll say something, but then Mum finishes it.
Let's say goodbye.
Goodbye.
So long, farewell.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye, Auntie Jean.
Bye, Auntie Jean.
Bye.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.